not going to be in Revelation this morning. Yeah, no. We're going to be... want to look at something... Wow, this is really low. Want to look at something... want to look at the last words of Christ before his death on the cross is what I want to do. There's so much that we can gain, I believe, from that. Because we have his birth, we understand his birth, he came in his incarnation, what it's called, in his life, that he accomplished God's will during his life. And then you have his death, which it wasn't just a covering for sin, atonement, it was a propitiation, it was a satisfaction for that sin before God, so his just nature was satisfied. And then you have the resurrection, which gave us new life, so his death gave us forgiveness, and the resurrection gave us new life. But you know, in all of that, and then he had his what he gave to the disciples, at least, in his the Great Commission and such. But while he was on the cross, Christ said seven things that were exceedingly important. Exceedingly important. And I want to just kind of zero in on them today. And what you're going to see is that I can do more than three verses at a time. fine. You guys are in trouble. that is a sign of a guilty conscience every time. but oh, I love grandkids. But anyway, that was good. That was really good. We're going to go through several verses, but we're not going to take a huge amount of time. So, and all of the things that he said on that cross, we could take weeks on each one. Literally, but I want to get this done today. So that's what we're going to look at. I want to start off in prayer. Father God, thank you again for your truth from your word. Lord, I pray that it would go forth today, your truth. Not mine, not any of ours, but your truth. The fact that you sent your son for us, Lord. And Father, he came out of obedience and out of love, and what he said on that cross is so important. And he said seven things, Lord, that are, that's a completion, number of completion for you. That's a perfect number. And Lord, some of them seem so insignificant, but they're not. Every one of them is significant. We praise you, Lord, that you have allowed us to study and to look at this. We thank you so much. I pray that you would touch us with your truth, your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. As we start, I'm going to start in Matthew. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All of them mention certain ones. Matthew and Mark mention the same one. We're going to start with that. Matthew chapter 15. I'm sorry. Yes, Matthew chapter 27. Let's just look on my notes. That'll be a lot easier. It's Mark chapter 15. So it was really close both ways. It's Mark chapter 15, and Matthew 27 says pretty much the same exact thing. Mark chapter 15, verses 33 and 34. When the sixth hour came, darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. Now remember, Jesus was on the cross here. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? So that's the first thing we're going to look at. The fact that he cried that out, it was an abandonment. Actually, the word forsaken, I looked that up, it means to denounce or to turn away from entirely. And it's the same word that is in Hebrews, where it says, I will never, never leave you, I will never, never, never abandon you, forsaken you. It's that same word. And so somehow, and we don't understand how, but somehow God the Father had abandoned Christ on the cross. And I believe it was in his humanity. But it shows us the true price for sin, the true payment for sin. And the fact that how God sees sin. Because Christ became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So it was that payment that Christ bore the sin of the world. And in fact, he says, my God, the word God there wasn't the same word he used the night before when he said, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father. This was a word that actually means judge. my judge. So somehow what Christ saw was an abandonment while he hung on the cross for those 3 hours, and the world became dark. So you have that word. And remember, the last words, if you were dying, what would be the last words you said? I mean, what would you want to say? I would want to tell my wife I loved her, my children I loved her, and I would want to encourage you to live for Christ. I'd have so many things that I would want to say. And Jesus, I believe he chose his sayings exceedingly wisely and carefully. And the first thing that we see that he said is, my God, why have you abandoned me? My judge, why have you abandoned me? And I believe one of the things that we can get for that, he said this for a reason, and it's sometimes how we feel. Lord, why have you abandoned me? I mean, I'm in all these problems. It's not fair. What could Jesus have said? It's not fair. He lived a perfect life. Why was it fair? It was only fair because this is how God's plan worked, to lay all of our sins upon him. So there's the first thing. Go over to Luke chapter 23. We're going to see several in Luke. Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, starting in verse 34. I'm not going to read the whole passage. It's actually 33 through 49, the whole section, but I'm not going to read all of that. In verse 34, it says, "But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. Father, forgive them." So here we see the compassion of Christ. The compassion of Christ over those who didn't understand at all what they were doing, didn't understand at all who Jesus was. So you say, forgive who? Was he talking about the whole world? Father, forgive the whole? No, I believe he's talking about those Roman soldiers. Those soldiers that nailed him to the cross, that hung him there, that took his garments and cast lots for that cloak that he had. They did that. It was horrible. But yet he had compassion on them specifically because they really, truly didn't understand. There were the Pharisees out front hurling accusations at them. There was the robber, at least on one side, who was calling him everything. But yet he had compassion on these who didn't understand at all what they were doing. Said, "Father, forgive them." So important that we see these last things and what he could have said, what he didn't say, and yet what he is saying. Look at verse 43 of that same chapter. And he said to him, "Truly, truly," let's look into it. Verse 40. But the other answer, okay, fine. Verse 39. One of the criminals who was hanging there was hurling abuse at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other answered and rebuked him, said, Do you not fear even God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve because of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." Here we see he has compassion on a repentant sinner, one who is repenting, one who is desiring to accept his lordship, to be under his care. He had true compassion for him. You know, a lot of times people say, well, I've heard people pray on their deathbed. Does a deathbed confession count? Guess what this was? It's a deathbed confession, and guess what? He was with him in paradise that day, that very day. So Jesus had compassion for that repentant sinner. Look down in verse 46. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. Jesus, crying out, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." You know, Jesus chose when to die. He chose the time of his own death. He says, "No man takes my life from me, but I give it willingly." I give it willingly. Jesus knew exactly when he would die. In fact, he gave up his spirit. But not only that, he gave it willingly, but he did it for all of us, for compassion on the whole world. But he did it to show us the authority of the Father. The fact that he gave into this Father's hands his spirit. All right, so it shows the authority, but it also shows his compassion. So in all of this, what I want you to see is his heart behind it. His heart behind what he is saying. And I believe he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? For our benefit. Because oftentimes we feel that. And yet, in Hebrews it says he'll never, ever, ever forsake us. And then you look at these other things that he says, Father, forgive them. Because he had compassion on those who really didn't understand anything. And he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. He had compassion on that repentant sinner. And then he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. This is, we don't know the exact order of everything that he said. We know this was towards the last. But that shows his compassion on the world, but it also shows the authority, God's authority. Now turn over to John chapter 19. I'm sorry, I'm moving along here. I told you, this is as quick as you're ever going to see me go through these passages. John chapter 19. Starting in verse 28, he says in verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things had been accomplished to fulfill the scripture, there's the key, to fulfill the scripture, said, I am thirsty, I thirst. Now, we talked about that in Sunday school. It shows his human need, that he is fully human. Isn't that amazing that that's one of the things that he said, that one of the seven things he said right there at the end? I thirst. But I think it's important for us to know, because if he wasn't fully human, then his sacrifice was not acceptable before God. He had to be fully human and perfect to be a perfect sacrifice before God to take away the sins of the world. So he said, I thirst. That showed his humanity. It showed everyone his humanity. He was fully human, even unto death. Even having those human needs. Now look at the next couple verses. Verse 29. A full jar of sour wine was sitting there, so they put a sponge to the sour wine upon a branch of hyssop and brought it up to his mouth. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It is finished. Okay, now I could go on for a month on that. And in fact, I have several things I'd like to say about that, because that was one of the last things he said on the cross. Why did he say it? And by the way, finished, the word finished, it's in the perfect tense, so it means it's completely done, whatever it was, completely, totally done, and it's in the passive voice, which means it's completely done, totally done to him and through him. God did the work and finished it through him. So it was God finishing that redemptive work. Because what is the work? I mean, what was finished? He said, it is finished. What was finished? Was it his life? Well, yes, for 3 days. But then he rose again. So that wasn't it. Well, was it his time on earth? Well, no, he came back from the dead. Was it his fun? Well, all my fun is finished. I don't think that's, we see that in Scripture at all. Was it his influence? Oh, my influence is finished. No. He still influences people today. It says the redemptive work of Christ. It's God's work of forgiveness was finished at the cross. And he gave every one of us, he is still giving every person on earth the opportunity to have life because of that. To have forgiveness from God because of that. Isn't that amazing? That one work, and he said, it is completely, fully finished. He had compassion on the world here. This work of Christ was prophesied from the beginning. Remember what I said earlier, that the scripture may be fulfilled? This work of Christ was completely prophesied. All the way through the Old Testament, we see all sorts of things about it. The work was prophesied actually in the garden, where he talked about the seed of the woman. Was prophesied right there in the garden that Jesus would come It's all because of sin. It's all because of the separation that happened in the garden. The separation that happened between God and man. Jesus, in his humanity, asked God if there was another way on the cross. We looked at that this morning. We talked about it. In his humanity, in the garden, he said, "If there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But not my will be done, but thine." And that's why he said, when he said, "It is finished," it was in the passive voice that God did it. And God sent his son, and he did it through him. He sent his son to the cross, and he finished the work of salvation there. These were some of the last words before he died. And it's extremely important that we know what he meant when he said, "It is finished." Because we no longer have to pay for sin. We should. We ought to, but we don't. He paid that price completely. And he didn't just cover it over. He paid it in full. He paid everything that was owed because of us. He became the essence, the nature of sin, so that we can have a relationship with him, be the righteousness of God in him. It's finished. It's done. Jesus thought this was so important that you hear, that we hear this, that they hear it, that we hear it from the cross. Because if you think about it, some of the most important things in Scripture, a lot of people know. And these seven sayings, a lot of people know. He thought it was so important that we hear that. It's how he wanted to express his heart before his death. He could have said anything. He could have uplifted his disciples. Said, "Hey, you guys, just keep going on and keeping on." He didn't do that. He could have rebuked the religious leaders there. "You guys are on the wrong path. I'm from the cross, I'm telling you. I'm going to raise again in 3 days. I'm telling you, you better watch out." He could have done any of that. He didn't. He thought this was so much more important. He could have warned Rome. Said, "Hey, you Roman soldiers, you better understand. You're not fighting for the right reasons." But he didn't. Because these things were the most important things for us to know. So there were seven things that Christ said on the cross. And what we've covered is six. Now the last one I kept because this is Mother's Day, right? Look back in verse 26, John 19. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. So, everything he could have said about, make sure you don't sin. Now, when the church starts, make sure they follow what I'm saying. Make sure they follow me. He could have talked about to his followers there to watch out for the resurrection, whatever. But instead, he chose his mother. One of the things that he said on the cross was, "I want you to take care of mom." And I don't believe it was just because Mary was his mom. I believe he was talking more about motherhood. Now you say, wait, you know, he was just being a responsible son, right? I mean, his dad had probably died by this time. Joseph was probably dead because we don't hear anything about him during his ministry. And yet, he would have been the responsible one. He was the oldest son, so it would have been his responsible to take care of his mom. So you say, well, he was just taking care of his mom. The problem with that is what we saw in Sunday school, his omniscience. He knew exactly what was going to happen to him all along. Right, he could have assigned John, he could have assigned one of his brothers. He had brothers and sisters still. Could have assigned them to take care of her. He knew what was going to happen. I don't believe at all that this was an afterthought. I don't believe he was up there on the cross saying, "Oh, I forgot. Hey, John, take care of mom. Mom, there's your son now." Oh, it slipped my mind. It's just something No, there were seven things, which is the perfect number. Seven very, very important things that he said that he chose to say on the cross to show something. And I believe one of the things here was he honored his mom and motherhood. He could have done any of that earlier. It wasn't a last-minute thought. It was honoring motherhood. Let me ask you, what profession do you know that has the longest hours, has the least pay, is the most taxing mentally and physically, and has the most potential in some form to be heartbreaking? What profession? Who is crazy enough to go for a profession like that? Moms. Moms. I mean, kids don't always respond the way we think they should, right? It can be heartbreaking. And yet, moms still take care of their children. You know, there's many principles in Scripture that I thought about for today. I thought about Galatians 6:9, where it says, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." Let us not do so. And that's one thing I would love to speak to moms about. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Don't grow weary in it. Why? Because it's day in and day out. It's all sorts of stuff. We had 6 grandkids over the weekend by ourselves. And not the big ones. Not the big ones. There was 2 1-year-olds and a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old and a 7 or 8 and 9, right? Yeah. And it was amazing. I looked at Chris and I said, "We had 10 kids. How can this be this hard?" It wasn't this hard before. Well, I had more energy before. I think we both had more energy or something. Anyway, it was amazing, but it was fun. It was great. I want to do it again. All right? I want to do it again. Don't be saying, I'm not saying I don't want to do it again. It was great. It was fun. But it was amazing. And you know what? These moms have them 24 hours a day, every day, not just over the weekend, not just for the fun time, kind of for every time. Moms are amazing. I look back because of that experience. I look back now. I say, "Honey, you are so great." She's amazing to me. You know? Yeah, I was involved. I was there. You know, and I did everything I could. But you know what? I believe moms need honored tremendously, and I could use all of those other, you know, verses, but I wanted to show you this, because even though this is the hardest profession, I believe, in the world, it's one of the most dishonored professions by our society. It's one of the most dishonored. It's almost looked down on anymore, which is amazing to me. But not by Jesus. By our society, yes, but not by Jesus. Because one of the 7 things that he said is, "I'm going to take care of motherhood, take care of mom, honor motherhood." He honored motherhood in this. One of the last things he said. In his wisdom and in his honor, he mentioned motherhood from the cross. Some of the most remembered things that he's ever said. He made mothers to function out of love. And you know, I don't want to be irreverent in this. I don't want to seem irreverently spoken here, but I believe motherhood is the closest thing that we have to seeing God's love for us. To seeing how God loves us is to see how mothers love their children. And that's the closest thing that we have on earth. Because guess what? When that baby comes out of that body, he doesn't turn around and say, "Thanks, Mom. You did a great job. I'm sure glad you carried me for 9 months. He didn't say anything like that. He didn't even change his own diapers. He doesn't feed himself. He doesn't clothe himself. He doesn't do any of that. Moms do. And I know dads help, but moms do all the time. And grandmas. Praise the Lord for grandmas. All right, but moms, it's amazing. You know, everything that we cherish about God, that he loves us, that he cares for us, that he gives us all that we need, that we can depend on him. That's why what I'm saying is the closest thing we have to seeing how God loves us is to see how a mother loves her child. And talk about fiercely being protective. You don't stand in the way of a mom with her baby. You don't offer to take that baby in the back of a pickup truck. It doesn't work. That was the first time I learned how fiercely protective she was. I know it was dumb, but right, so that God gave that. God put that in there. Why did he put that in there? I believe one of the reasons he put that in there was to show us how much God loves us and how much God cares for us. And then from the cross, Jesus honored that. He didn't say anything about dads. What's the matter with you, Jesus? You didn't say anything about that? No, he said moms. He honored that. Why? Because we needed a picture to show that. And you know what? I don't think it was an accident at all. I don't think it was an accident or an afterthought that Jesus honored motherhood from the cross. Moms, your job in your home is the most important service that you will ever perform for your God. And it may or may not end up like you hope. But that's in God's hands. That's in God's hands. You're raising an individual who has a sin nature. Surprise! They have a sin nature. I never thought kids did until we had them. All right? And the problem is we do too. And oftentimes there's a clash, but keep it up. Keep in mind that you are uniquely qualified to accomplish this work that God has given you. And Satan will cause as much heartache as he can. Satan will put all sorts of stumbling blocks in front of them and you. But do it all with joy. Do it all with joy. Knowing that if God allows you the position of mom, you're doing his work and showing what his love looks like toward us. Your position is what Christ thought it was important to mention from the cross. And I'm not excluding, I'm not saying that you're only a mom if you have, you know, teenagers or down. All right? Because I don't think we ever quit momming, do you? At least I haven't quit dadding yet. And I think Chris gets more calls than I do. All right? We don't quit our parenting. And moms, you don't get to quit. And guess what that means? Instead of using a switch, you use a prayer. Instead of making the kids go somewhere, you pray them there. But whatever it is, know that God's gift of you to them is a tremendous gift. Keep at it. Continue on. Don't be weary in doing well. In due time, you'll see God's hand in it. All right? And oftentimes, Satan will throw everything in front of you and the kids won't respond like you think. They won't grow up and do exactly what you think. But guess what? That's in God's hands too. That's in God's hands. You be faithful as a mom. Continue to be faithful. Let's close in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for the way that you honored motherhood on the cross. The way that you sent your son for redemption, Lord, for to pay the price so that we could have salvation. By trusting in your Son, we can have new life with you. Lord God, right there on the cross, he honored the fact that he had a mom, that there was motherhood. And Lord, one of the things that he could have said would have been, don't sin, or be careful of this, or watch out for Satan. And instead, he honored that position that, Lord, you created. And it's the greatest picture we have of your love for us. And we really don't understand your love for us, but, Father, we can at least see a glimpse of it right there. How a mom can carry a baby 9 months, throwing up and everything else. wrecking her body. And yet, Father, that baby's not going to be thankful for that, not even going to know about it. But they do it willingly, lovingly, and take care of that baby when they come. Fiercely protect that baby. Feed them, clothe them, change them, everything that they need. Father God, it's what you do for us. And I praise you for that picture that we have. I pray for all the moms here, the ones who have older children, the ones who have younger children. I pray that you would give them all stamina, that you would give them all courage and grace. Father God, give them the strength they need. The older ones mentally, the younger ones physically. Father, thank you for the institution of marriage, the institution of parenting, and Father, the position that moms hold. I praise you, Lord, that Christ understood that so much that he blessed motherhood on the cross. So important. We see this was important to you, important to him. We love you. We praise you. Through Christ I pray. Amen.